2016. This is the time and the place scheduled in the Public Service Commission hearing room at the State Capitol in the matter of Phoenix Construction. Good morning. I am Tim Dawson. I am an administrative law judge designated by the Office of Administrative Hearings upon the request of the Public Service Commission to serve as hearing officer for this hearing. This is North Dakota Public Service Commission case number PU-15-166. On April 24, 2015, the Commission received a complaint from the City of Bismarck alleging Phoenix Construction failed to provide excavation notice before excavating and did not notify the operator of damages to underground facilities and backfilled over the unrepaired and damaged underground facilities. On March 1, 2016, the Commission issued a complaint against Phoenix Construction, a trade name of a sole proprietorship owned by Doug Unruh. Mr. Unruh responded to the complaint in a letter dated March 24, 2016. On August 17, 2016, the Commission issued a notice of hearing, which was amended by a request for continuance approved October 5, 2016, setting the hearing for this time and this place. The issues as contained in the complaint are whether the respondent violated North Dakota Century Code Section 49-23-04, Subsection 1, by failing to provide an excavation notice to the notification center at least 48 hours before beginning excavation, and number two, whether the respondent violated North Dakota Century Code Section 49-23-06, Subsection 1, by failing to provide notice to the operator of damage to their underground facilities and backfilling over the unrepaired and damaged underground facility. Mr. Hsu, please state your appearance for the record.
Thank you, Your Honor. John Hsu with the staff, and along with me today is Victor Shook, also part of advocacy staff.
Mr. Unruh, I think you're welcome to come and sit at that table right there.
And use the mic.
And so use the mic, please. I think you have to push a button on it, perhaps.
Okay.
State your name for the record.
Douglas Unruh.
Thank you. Would the commission advisor and other participants please introduce themselves?
Thanks. Ilana Jeffcoat-Sacco for commission.
Would the commissioners please introduce themselves and provide opening remarks?
Let Randy go first. He's sitting closest to you.
Okay, Randy Christman, Public Service Commissioner, and I really don't have a lot of opening remarks. Ready to get into the case, but the one thing I would lay out, I guess, I think you're going to address Commissioner Fedorchuk's situation. Primarily for Mr. Unruh's information, as well as anyone else who's listening, the advocacy staff, you know, brings the case, and the advisory staff is who advises us if we have kind of legal questions or those types of things. So I think that's a distinction that maybe isn't as obvious as we start to assume it is always. So let's point that out.
Commissioner Kolk.
Thank you, Commissioner Christman. You talked about Commissioner Fedorchuk. The Chair Fedorchuk is representing the commission on some natural gas doings, if you will, and she's traveling back right now, so that's why she's not able to make the hearing. She's certainly able to listen to the tape. I suspect she's talked to our advisory staff, Lana and Sarah, if there's any questions, but just to put on the record where she's at, she's representing the commission and other businesses. And so the my viewpoint, I guess, kind of dovetail on what Commissioner Christman said. I think most of the folks sitting to my right here have been in many different hearings before, and we've got other members in the audience here, but Randy kind of laid it out where, you know, we've got the advisory staff, Alana, that advises us as we deliberate. Advocacy staff has brought forward what they believe to be a case of someone violating North Dakota law. Sir, Mr. Unruh, responded in some of your thoughts on this, and so the way the process lays out, North Dakota Century Code says that the commission has the responsibility, the jurisdiction to enforce violations of one call, and we make decisions on whether they're appropriate or not. There's anywhere from $0 to $25,000 that the commission can levy per violation. And so there's a long process before it gets to this hearing today, and some of that I think will flush out as it goes. But the way the case typically lays out is that Mr. Hsu will make his case in the beginning, and I'm guessing he'll call up some witnesses and he'll make the case why there was a violation. The advocacy staff will, always advisory staff, may answer a couple of questions. And then, Judge, how does it lay out when they represent themselves? Does Mr. Unruh then, can he cross-examine? I assume he can, right?
Commissioner Calk, he has the right of cross-examination.
So you'll have the right to question back and forth. And the judge is here to kind of make sure we all play everything according to the legal setup. But I guess my viewpoint is the case, the paperwork is not that voluminous, which is good, because then we can make sure we all understand everything. We'll ask a few questions, and I suspect we'll take a break every hour or two, and we'll go till completed today. And other than that, just I know that you probably want to be out there working, so we won't certainly belabor this too long. We'll ask the question and move along as quickly as we can. No decision will be made today. The commission will go back and deliberate, and then we'll make a decision, I suppose, within the next month or so, probably, depending how the schedules work themselves out. So thank you all for being here today, and we look forward to an efficient hearing.
Commissioner Chrisman.
And just one other thought and the point I was going to make earlier and then just kind of glossed over. Mr. Unruh should be aware, when we divide our staff this way, from that time on, paperwork gets filed that's available to you as well. But while we work on other cases and they work here, as far as this case goes, the advocacy staff has no longer been able to talk to us, nor in the coming days do they, about this case. And so, you know, any interactions they have are public, either today on the record or through filings or things such as that. So I just want to emphasize it's not a tipped system that we're all working on the case all the time when you're not here.
Ms. Jeffcoat-Sacco, did you have some opening remarks?
I didn't have opening remarks, but I needed to make a correction and apologize that I neglected to introduce this, another member of the advisory staff, Sarah Cardwell, who is a public utility analyst and is working on the case with me. So I apologize to Sarah and the others for that.
I'll next go over the hearing procedure. This is a complaint proceeding, and the burden of proof is the preponderance of the evidence, and the burden is on the commission. First, the commission will present its case through its witnesses. The witnesses are subject to cross-examination by you, Mr. Unruh, and questioning by Ms. Jeffcoat-Sacco, the commissioners, and me. Following the commission's case, you may present your case or tell your story. You'll be subject to cross-examination by Mr. Hsu and by Ms. Jeffcoat-Sacco, the commissioners, and me as well. After the hearing, the commission will make its decision regarding this matter. Any party aggrieved by the final decision of the commission may have a right to appeal to district court under the Administrative Agencies Practices Act. Are there any questions regarding this procedure?
No. Nothing, Your Honor.
I'll ask you, are you familiar with the North Dakota Rules of Evidence?
No.
Under North Dakota Century Code Section 28-32-24, I will waive the North Dakota Rules of Evidence to ascertain the substantial rights of the parties, i.e., being that you don't know them, this is to your benefit. Only relevant evidence will be admitted, though. I have been provided three exhibits from Mr. Hsu. Do you plan on objecting to any of the exhibits? Are you planning to enter them all at once or as you go along?
Your Honor, just a slight correction. There was one additional exhibit I just
Yes, and I did receive exhibit number 4, so I've received 4 exhibits.
Your Honor, I believe they're all relevant, and at this point in time, I'd just like to move them all into the record.
Any objection, Mr. Unruh?
No.
Okay. I will mark and admit PSC Exhibits 1 through 4. Do you wish to provide an opening statement?
Your Honor, I believe I'll just waive the opening and go straight into my case.
Okay. Would you like to have an opening statement or save it for the beginning of your case?
I have no statement.
Okay. Mr. Hsu, you may call your first witness.
Thank you, Your Honor. I'd like to call Randy Meyer.
Mr. Hsu, how many witnesses are you bringing today?
Commissioner, I have 4 witnesses today.
4 witnesses, okay.
Yep. Mr. Meyer.
Yes.
Before you begin your testimony today, I'm required by law to tell you the penalties for perjury. The penalties for perjury in this state are a Class C felony punishable by a fine of up to $10,000 or up to 5 years imprisonment. Understanding the penalties for perjury, do you promise or swear that the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
You may begin.
Thank you, Your Honor. Mr. Meyer, would you please state your name, place of employment?
Randy Meyer, Bell Pawn and Collectibles, okay. 133 South Bell Street in Bismarck.
Thank you. And did you hire Phoenix Construction to do work on your property?
I did.
Could you give a general description of what type of work you hired Phoenix Construction to do?
Put a addition onto the back or the east side of the building. I'm going east and then south on the back side about, I think it was like 1,800 square feet or so.
I'm just going to turn your attention to the exhibit marked PSC-1. It should be right next to you. I was wondering if you could just describe pages 1 and 2, what those photos depict.
The first page depicts the building without any addition on it. Looks like it with an older photo, something more aerial. And the second one shows the building as it is now.
And that was just to give some.
Randy, if I could, Jack, could you? I'm not sure exactly where is your building from PSC-1.
This one here. This would be the building.
Can you give some kind of direction for the record on that?
It is straight. It's on Bell Street and directly across Lincoln Avenue. Directly on the east side of Lincoln Avenue is running east and west.
And it's small, but I do believe it is actually listed on the exhibit.
Okay.
Middle.
I see it now. Thank you. Just because remember, Commissioner Fedorchak is going to be listening to tape on this as well.
Mr. Meyer, did this work involve excavation on your property?
Yes, it did.
Okay. And generally, when did this excavation occur?
Probably the early part of November, if I recall. It's been a couple of years. October, November. It's been a couple of years ago, and I would, I would have to look back then or ask. I have no exact date.
Was the year 2014?
Oh, yes, it was 2014, 2 years ago, yes.
Thank you.
Sorry about that.
So during the course of excavation, were you aware that Phoenix Construction struck any underground facilities?
At the time, I was not aware of. I knew he struck something, and after asking him, I put that to rest.
Okay, and what did you visually see that he struck?
Some old, like reddish clay pipe there that was dry, empty.
And did you bring that to his attention, or did he bring it to yours?
I just asked him about it, and he told me, if I can recall right, that it was probably an abandoned sewer or water pipe from some time ago, and that's.
But you weren't aware of any sort of effort to verify that it was abandoned on behalf of the excavation?
No, I wasn't.
Okay. And so when did you become aware that this was actually an operative underground facility?
Would have been the next spring when they were sending some type of robot down through the pipes to see what was plugged, and knocked on our door and said that, asked if we recently put a wall up there, said that they can see concrete through the, coming from the west side going through, and that the backside, I believe the trailer court flooded earlier that year.
So was the addition built right over the pipeline?
It was built right over the pipeline.
Okay, and was there any effort that, do you have any knowledge of any effort that Phoenix took to fix the underground facilities?
No, I don't, none at all.
Right, but are you aware that they backfilled over those facilities?
They did backfill over it, yeah.
Okay. And what type of inconveniences did your business suffer as a result of the damaged facilities?
To the result of the damages alone, it was probably the waiting of a year, the stress of at first we looked at, or we were told we were probably going to remove the building at that time and put the pipe in correctly, tear the building down. And we had nothing but mud in front of the building from that time until after The contractor that fixed that area was done late in the year before we could do anything with the ground there. So it was a mud mess, a lot of sleepless nights wondering what was going to happen there. It took quite a while.
And just to clarify, when you said they, are you referring to the city or the contractor?
It would have been the contractor, Weiss, I believe, did the work.
And were they working for someone?
For the city of Bismarck, I believe.
And did you have any other interaction with Mr. Unruh or any other employee after you found out that this was a damaged
system? Yes, I did. I spoke to his son, John, came over, and I wasn't in a very good mood, and I told him what happened, and he told me in so many words that if he would have mentioned it, the pipe, the year of the excavation, that it would have stopped everything and wouldn't have been able to finish, who knows, wouldn't have been able to put the addition on possibly. And, you know, I just shook my head and said that's what should have been done then. You know, and he knew about it at the time he told me.
On the bottom of your pile of papers, there should be a one document marked PSC Exhibit 4.
Yes.
And are you familiar with this document?
Yes, I am.
Okay, could you just give us a brief description of what it is and what's contained?
The upper part, and it was written from Doug to me, letter sent to me, and it just about should be doing this in person, but he just sent a letter to me and just basically apologized for some bad errors that were made on the job and is embarrassed as hell. We have never had a job with this many bad screw-ups. I believe John has been able to straighten out some of them and made your building weathertight.
You received this letter from Mr. Unruh?
Mr. Unruh, I believe, in March of this year.
Is there anything else you'd like to share with the commission, Mr. Meyer?
I've known Doug a long time. It's not the easiest thing to be here. I've known him. I liked him, never had any problems with him before this time. It's just what happened and, you know, just unfortunate thing here, but it's, you know, lucky that nothing worse happened. If it was electrical or something, so, you know, I see where we're at.
Thank you, Mr. Meyer. Your Honor, at this time I tender the witness.
Do you have any questions for this witness, Mr. Unruh?
No.
Does the advisory staff have any questions?
We have no questions, thank you.
Commission have any questions?
Sure, just a couple, sir. First off, thank you for taking time to come up here today, and I think you said it in your closing statements. It's, you know, North Dakota is a small community. We're all friends and family, what the law is, what it is, so we find ourselves here today. Just a couple questions. This is more of a process question. So, when the city is going to do repairs that are close to your area, did you know ahead of time this was all taking place, or does the contractor just show up one day and start digging?
No, we knew it was. We've been working. It wasn't something one day. It took Doug and myself, as far as working with the city to get permits and everything straightened out there, it took several months or maybe 6 months. You know, it wasn't something that happened. You know, it would have been in the spring when I contacted Doug, and would have been late, early winter when we started the job, or when he started, so it took several months, and you know, so I...
Okay. And then during the process, did you at all ask the Phoenix folks if they called one caller, or did you say they didn't have to, or anything like that?
No, I did not ask them, and I did not ever tell them that they didn't have to. I would assume I had a construction company 30 years, and that's how I knew Douglas. Doug did a lot of work for me over those years.
And you said, I think you also said, too, just lucky nothing else got hit, like, not electrical, that it was, like electrical or gas or something. Okay. No, I don't have any further questions. Just thank you for taking time out of your day to get here, and appreciate your candid testimony.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Any further questions, Mr. Shu, Mr. Unruh?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
You said we never talked about the need for calling one call, which, before we started digging, we had a conversation about that you knew where the power lines were and you knew where the gas line was and you knew where everything was on the property.
No. You, I believe, asked me long before that where power comes across or where the power is, and I told you that the gas is apparently right in front of the building, is where the gas line connects to, and the power line goes directly overhead to the building there as far as, and that would have been, and I, as far as the day you were digging when I saw the pipe, I had no idea what the pipe was dug, and I was told that by you. There were many other things went on with the building that I, you know, just here, you know, not here to bring up, but it's, you know, I, you say it all in your letter to me, pretty much. That's what the building was. And is it something I have to live with, the building that leans left and leans north one side or the other and 1 foot shorter on one end and taller on the new building than on the old building and pieced together, and that's what I have. But I deal with it, and I've never, you know, it's a mess. It started leaking this summer. We just go up there and put more tar on it.
Sir, it's over here. Yeah.
Okay.
Just answer the question, please.
Okay, yep.
Yeah. Any further questions?
You say we talked about a pipe?
I asked you about a pipe then. I just saw some old clay. It was broken pipe. I wouldn't have known. And at the time, the person from the city came down there, I wouldn't have known, except I said there was some old cast clay pipe there, and it was actually, there was some pieces still sitting on the very corner of the adjoining lot to me. There were some pieces, and that's when they saw the pieces and said that was it. I would have never known what those pipes, they looked like they're from 1940s, and had no idea. I wouldn't have questioned. I did ask you, and you said they were all abandoned, and you probably thought they were. I have no idea, Doug. I'm not, that's what you told me. And they were laying outside yet when the city came 2 years or a year later. They were still laying there by the fence. And that's what I just showed him. I said, this is the pipe I saw, and there were parts of it laying in the dirt. You had a pile of dirt back there yet.
Okay, I agree with that. I just wanted to make sure. I thought you said we talked about it. Okay.
No, sorry.
Hole or a pipe.
No. It was just what I saw.
Please ask questions.
Okay.
When you get to your time to present your case, you'll be able to tell
your
story.
I think he's asking if I, and I know I'm not saying he knew it was, I do not want to intend stating that he knew what it was. I asked him, he told me it was an old, to his knowledge, an old abandoned pipe. And when I saw it laying in the dirt pile when the city was there, I told you, or told the city, that's the pipe I saw. So that's really all I had.
Any further questions, Mr. Unruh?
No.
Any rehab?
Nothing, Your Honor.
Any further questions?
Yeah, Your Honor. I haven't had a chance yet.
Commissioner.
Thank you. Regarding PSC-4, the note that you read?
Yes.
You read it down to where it's signed, and then there's another half a page of a lot of measurements. Those are all pertaining to that bottom half is about other things other than
correct.
The excavation,
all
correct?
Other things,
so
yeah.
We don't have to worry about that.
No.
Okay. And then advocacy only addressed two of the exhibits, Your Honor, but all four of them are already entered in, correct? So I can ask questions about all of them?
Correct.
Okay. Do you, Mr. Meyer, have the exhibits in front of you?
Yes, I do.
Would you go to number 3? And this addresses the kind of questions or conversation you were having with Mr. Unruh a moment ago. But in this letter, the assertion was that it was discussed with you in advance and that you kind of gave some assurance that you had a location done in the past and knew where things were. So have you owned this land for some period of time, or was this a new acquisition?
My father-in-law owned it. I bought it from him, and I believe it'll be 12 years in January.
Okay, and have you ever called in a one call before?
No, never a one call. We had some construction done to it after I bought it, some new electrical, but we never added electrical power to it at that time for anything, so I don't, it was all in interior work at the time. There was no one call ever called since
I've So you would have had no way of knowing even if you had had the discussion?
No. Nope. No, it wasn't.
And it says in the second paragraph that there's a lot of rubble buried in the excavation. Was there and you mentioned the broken pipe that you really didn't know what it was and assumed it was something abandoned. Was there something on this lot now, having seen the excavation, was there something there before? Was there other rubble, or is the rubble strictly this pipe?
I couldn't honestly tell you. It wasn't something I saw some, you know, pieces of a shiny old clay pipe, and that's all I saw. I couldn't tell you any other rubble as far as old building brick or stone or
you
something.
You don't recall seeing anything else?
No, nothing.
Okay. I have no other questions. Thank you.
Do you have any further questions?
No, Your Honor.
Any further questions, Mr. Unruh?
No.
Any further questions?
No, thank you.
You may step down.
Thank you.
You may call your next witness.
Judge, just quickly, I believe Mr. Meyer, he requested that he'd be able to be dismissed so that he could head back to work. I just want to see if anyone would have an objection with that.
Is there any objection? Okay. He can be dismissed.
Thank you, Your Honor. At this time, advocacy staff would like to call Brad Wright.
Mr. Wright.
Yes, sir.
Were you here for my admonition on perjury?
I was.
Understanding the penalties for perjury, do you promise or swear that the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, sir.
You may begin.
Ms. Wright, would you just please spell your name out for the record?
Brad Wright, W-R-I-G-H-T.
Mr. Wright, where are you currently employed?
City of Bismarck Engineering Department.
Okay, and what's your exact position and title?
I am the Senior Project Engineer.
Okay. Are you familiar with the circumstances we're here to speak about today?
Yes.
Okay. And I'm just going to briefly have you look at PSC 2. I believe it should be up there.
Mm-hmm.
And can you identify this document?
Yes, I can.
Okay. And could you describe what this document is?
It's the one call complaint, and it the other exhibits show the aerial photo with the 36-inch storm sewer that we have, our existing storm sewer. And the last picture is a picture of our televising of the, I believe it's the west side of the building.
Okay, thank you. And are these documents the documents that the City of Bismarck submitted for the complaint?
Yes.
Okay, and that was submitted to the PSC?
Yes.
And are you aware of where the damage to these facilities occurred?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
And where was that at?
It was underneath the building is where we first... Do you want a history of how we discovered that? Or
why don't we start with the address? And then
we'll 133 South Bell Street.
Okay.
And
why don't you describe the facilities that were damaged at that
site? It was a 36-inch clay tile storm sewer. We have, actually, our records are pretty good. We have the original set of plans on that that was done in 1923. That it's a clay tile storm sewer, and it's a pretty critical piece of the storm sewer, but it's actually more critical because it's our emergency bypass for our Washington Street lift station. And should we have to divert flow from that? So that's probably a more critical situation than the storm sewer part of it. But
okay. And I believe it was you. Were you the person who actually fixed up the facilities?
Yes, okay. I did the design and repair.
Gotcha. And how likely would you say it would be that a person could hit this type of facility and not realize they hit it, cause this type of damage?
We hit, you know, with the infrastructure the city has, things are hit all the time, but it's not commonly ignored. It's usually turned into us, and we do the repair. We repair lots of...
Sure. Not from the aspect of ignoring it or not at this point, but just... not realizing that they hit it. What's the likelihood of that?
Pretty rare.
Pretty rare?
Pretty rare.
Okay. And did any person contact you to ask if this facility was abandoned?
No.
Okay. And how did the city become aware of these facilities being damaged?
Actually, I was called by the property to the east of Mr. Meyer's building. It's owned by Mid-Continent Communications, and they were it's their parking lot behind their building, and they were actually they called me up. As you can imagine, the utilities, we get to know each other pretty well, and they called me up and asked me, they were going to pave their parking lot back there, and asked me what the thought was of putting an inlet, tying an inlet to this line. And that's where we found it. We took the top off a manhole to look at it, and it was sitting full of water. So we knew there was an obstruction in that line somewhere. That's how it, and then I called Public Works, of course, and they pumped it down and put the camera through there, and that's where we first discovered that. So.
Okay. And as a result of the damage, what type of repairs did the city need to do or end up doing?
Well, the first thing we did was we hired a contractor to dig on east side of Mr. Meyer's building just to see what the damage was, and we dug down and just to the Public Works had run a camera in the west side too and came up against an obstruction, and so we went to the east side, and we actually, because we couldn't get a camera in there when they camered that, there was a debris field and we couldn't get to that, so we thought we better dig that down alongside the building and see what's going on there. So, and we come across the shattered pipe, of course, or the collapsed pipe, and then and the footing was actually down into about the top quarter to third of the pipe. So there was no chance of getting that 36 under that building without a little bit of structural work, which we were willing to really wanted to undertake there. So
that building, that addition, was essentially built right on top of where the
pipeline
was.
Yeah. The sewer was collapsed and then backfilled and then the footing placed on top.
Were any other businesses aside from Bell's Pond affected by these damaged facilities?
Not that I know of, yeah.
Okay. And what could you describe a worst-case scenario of what could have resulted as a result from these facilities being, damaged and filled in?
Well, the south side of Bismarck is such a flat area that we have multiple systems down there, and as you imagine, it's the grade is just dead flat there. So there's multiple systems down there to drain that area. If you lose one of them, then you get the cascading effect, which is some other system has to pick that up, or our public works guys have to pump that into an adjacent system. The potential for flooding there is pretty – that line actually drains all the way up. I think the original – the 36 actually originates, if you're familiar with Bismarck, from 3rd and Front Street, and that drains actually the downtown area, which is higher, but it does come through Washington Street and the Ball Diamond and the trailer park down there, and the potential for flooding is pretty good. Not to mention the sanitary sewer. This is the emergency bypass for our sanitary sewer if we have to do that, and that's from a lift station that handles about 60% of the sewage in the city of Bismarck, so the potential for hazard there is pretty high.
So from sewage as well as
sewage, yeah, flooding. And flooding of stormwater is one thing, but flooding of sewage is another.
Sure.
You know, so.
And now you used the term ignore before. Do you believe it was likely that it was ignored and filled back in the facilities, or just from your working on in repairing the facilities?
Yeah, I would say that I guess my thought is that I'm sure they knew that it was, you know, the pipe, the time of year they dug it, it was probably no water in it.
Right.
You know, so it was ignored is the word, I guess, you know.
Right. Okay. Is there anything else you'd like to share with the commission before you get off the stand?
No.
Okay.
I don't think so.
No other questions, Your Honor.
Mr. Unruh, do you have any questions for this witness? Does the advisory staff have any questions for this witness?
I apologize if you answered this and I missed it because I was taking notes or something, but your position and number of years in your position with the city?
I'm a senior project engineer. I've been with the city for 36 years.
Okay, thanks. Mm-hmm. That's all we have.
Do the commissioners have any questions for this witness?
Absolutely, Your Honor.
Commissioner Cole.
Thank you, Brad, for your testimony. Before I forget, I want to acknowledge Craig is also from our staff. He's part of our pipeline safety damage prevention, and his prodigy son is here today going to school at BSC. So thank you guys for coming by and looking at the process. So, Brad, just a couple questions. So you've been at the city for a long time.
Yes.
And I know that the city of Bismarck is not on trial here today, okay?
Right.
But I will ask the questions about how do you vet your subcontractors before you hire them?
Well, generally we go through the state process of the bidding process, but our public works director, because this is an emergency situation, he approached our city commission and requested that we solicit quotes for. So he put that on me, and I called around and to find out. Of course, in the middle of the summer, it's, you know, or spring, it's hard to find a contractor who's not engaged. So we had to call and try and get quotes, and we always trying to get three quotes on that too, and that's how we did that. And to find somebody who has the time or a crew free, you know, we generally call the city of Bismarck's fortunate to have a surplus of good contractors, that we call on when we need something done. And so I called around to everybody who was busy and who wasn't and asked for quotes, gave them a package of the repair. I did the design on that of the repair, and we handed that to everybody and requested a quote from them. And, of course, we took the low quote and sure, went through the city commission on that too.
And I just – kind of where I'm going with this is just out of curiosity more than anything is, so as this thing plays itself out, if a contractor is finding himself in the middle of some type of legal scenario like we have here, does that take them off your list for future work, or how do you deal with that?
We certainly discuss that with them and try to tell them that, listen, if we hire you on a situation like this, we are behind you on this, and we will pay you. We will guarantee that you will be paid by the city of Bismarck regardless of what the action is. So they do, and that helps. That's the process that we usually do.
I thought I read somewhere, and I may be wrong, about some payment has been held till this is done?
Oh, no. The payment has been made to the contractor.
Okay.
Yeah, I think the pending payment is the insurance company.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we've been waiting for payment from the insurance company.
The city has been waiting for payment.
Yes, yeah. We've already paid the contractors.
Okay, so I'll clean that up a little bit when I talk with our witness. Okay, our attorney. All righty then, so the cost of repairs, can you tell me that again?
The bid price was $64,000, and that was the lowest price bid that we get. By the time we got done, of course.
I mean the cost of the repairs after the damage was done. To make sure I answer that question correctly. So, allegedly, Phoenix damaged stuff. The city had to go back and fix it.
Right.
How much is that, the $64,000 you're talking about?
$64,000 was the quote that we got from the contractor. That included the materials and the work.
Okay.
But by the time we got done, it was, when you're digging in that old infrastructure down there, there are some odd things. The final came
to... You always
to,
find more.
Yeah, there's always something you can run into. And the final cost was around... Of just the construction was $74,000, I think, was the final, the check that we cut to the contractor too. So,
okay. I believe that's all I have. Thank you, sir.
You bet.
Commissioner Chrisman.
In our original... Let me just go back and see what I'm reading. In the original complaint that was brought to us, it says the Bismarck alleges the cost of repair is $84,705.
Yeah, that's the cost of the construction was the 73 or 74, and then what was added on to that was my time. From the engineering department was submitted to Public Works, and then Public Works had the time because they had to set up a pump situation there in case of emergency, and they had some time of televising and the construction cost was $74,000 was submitted to Public Works. They added their time onto it for what plus additional. My time was an additional $5,000, and then Public Works added their time onto that, and I think the total amount came to $84,000. That's the difference between the 73 and the 84.
And so describe to me as a, not an engineer what happened here. Does the pipeline go underneath and they built the building and dug down and just one edge of it caught? Or does it run along the edge and just digging out a little bit further than what the end result edge of the building is? They caught the edge of it, or how does the pipe lay in connection with the building?
The pipe lays exactly under the center of the new addition. It
running all the way across underneath.
Yep, mm-hmm, underneath, and it hits the wall on the east side and comes out on the wall on the west side. And then it's a C-shaped building that was added on to the existing building with an opening into the old building. And so they put a footing on that, and the outside walls, that line runs directly under the center of the building.
So how much of the storm sewer actually got wrecked by the excavation? If you could just do a cutoff of it, is it 10 feet or 50 feet or what?
And we don't know the status of the pipe that's under the building because it had the poured concrete floor already, but it was about 103 feet. Was the distance between that we were cut off.
And so how did you fix that?
We discussed options, and one of them was to, you would end up taking the building down and knocking out the concrete floor to try and if we got underneath it. But when we dug down and realized that the footing was down into the pipe area, we realized that we could not get under that building without doing some major structural modifications. So what we did was we backed off and put a series of 45-degree angles, bends, and there was room on the side of his property, which was still part of the easement that we had, and it was a driveway, and actually we 45'd, then went two, it was actually four 45s, but we made two of them manholes simply because as flat as that is and with the change of direction, you need access to that in case of a debris because it's so flat that you have to have access to that. So we did a series of 45s and just jogged around the building. Is that clear as mud?
and it's about 100 feet, so...
It was 103, and the fix ended up being 123 feet or 130 feet, yeah.
And how far did you have to go around to get around the building then?
I think we 45'd, and it was probably 20 feet to the south, and then we went around the building and then jogged back in and picked up the existing line.
Okay, and what do you replace it with clay pipe still, or what goes in nowadays?
No, we replaced it with PVC pipe and concrete manholes.
And you're able to blend that in and match up then when you get to...
Right. Part of the additional cost from the $64,000 that went into $73,000 was because we did not know that old clay tile pipe that was put in 1923. We don't know the outside diameter of that, and until we got down to that, we didn't realize what they make connectors between different types of pipe, and we did not know what that was. And until we got down and saw it, then we had to order a special connector from the. You can imagine the PVC pipe has a lot thinner wall than the clay tile pipe, and. So we had to get a special adapter for that, and that was the additional cost on that.
And Midco is on the upstream side, and that's why when you examined it to look at putting an inlet to them, the water was backed up in the pipe because it had hit this obstruction.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. That manhole was full to the east. First manhole to the east was full of water.
Okay. No other questions. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any questions, Mr. Unruh?
You said the city hasn't been paid by the insurance company?
I don't believe we have been paid. I don't know that for a fact. I don't believe we have been paid.
I guess. Okay.
We've paid the contractor. We checked on that, and the contractor has been paid by the city.
Any further questions?
Just one additional question, Your Honor. How many months did this damaged facility sit before you discovered it, would you say?
In the fall when the construction was done, this was about probably April of 2015. And we did some excavation. That was in May. And then by the time we got the process and the fix going, it ended up into the final completion was in early to mid-August. By the time we got everything pipe ordered and all kinds of things, it's a process, and we were completely nervous about that because of we dodged a bullet there by not having a major rainfall.
No other questions, Your Honor. Thank you.
Any further questions?
No, thanks.
I forgot one follow-up, Judge.
Commissioner Kolk.
Brad, I forgot this question. In your testimony, you talked about, the city really tries to work with everybody, and I, you know, I, I understand the reality of the world out there. I'm guessing that every time somebody hits one of your facilities, you don't file a one-call ticket. I'm guessing you use a lot of judgment before you even bring something to this level. But I wanted to get your response to what I'm thinking, that you show a lot of judgment before you'd ever even bring a complaint forward.
Right. When we discover a situation like that, our first thought is, let's get it fixed. We need to do this. This is a critical thing to the city, especially critical infrastructure. We'll sort it out later. Let's fix it. And that was the mentality here. We're not looking to blame anybody. Let's get this fixed first, and let's get us back in business. Then we'll talk about what the issue is. That in the city, as long as I have been there, that's always been their mantra, is about let's fix the things that are a problem first. Before, let's not sit and make fester this. Let's get it done.
But there's some amount of screening that the city uses before they'd ever bring a complaint to someone, is what
the
direct question. So it's not like this is okay. The drew a blank here. And I'm not an attorney, and I don't give legal advice. My attorney always tells me that. But you know, the process here, if there is some fine that's levied, the money goes to the general fund of the state of North Dakota. If the individual doesn't pay, in other cases, it then goes to collection and all this. But the money that the city of Bismarck is out, this $80-some thousand.
$84,000, I believe, is what the amount is, and some change.
Do you then go after this individual down the road if they're responsible for it? Or what happened? I mean, because the city of Bismarck is out a lot of money because of this. And so how does a city make itself whole on this kind of stuff? This is an unbudgeted for expense that was allegedly caused by someone's...
I mean, it's not a pleasant thing. It all comes out of our, and Michelle could probably, it comes out of our sewer water utility to repair. I mean, it's the same thing when we have a water break. It's an infrastructure thing that we repair, and we provide for that. But it takes it away from anything, the other infrastructure things that we have to do, and that's something we live with. I mean, if you have a water break in the middle of winter, we repair that, and there's no...
Do you feel that the fine that the advocacy staff has recommended of basically $1,000 for no ticket and $10,000 for not reporting it is appropriate? Do you think it should be more because of severity given the cost, or what do you think? You work for the city a long time, and we try to protect things, and we don't have many cases come to hearing, but do you think this is a severe enough recommendation? Do you think it should be more or less? Do you think it's appropriate for what the city's viewpoint is?
I hate to make a judgment on that. I mean, the cost is a relative thing. And Doug, I've worked with him before, and he's done great things for the city. He had a job with him years ago that work was really well done. And I just hate to see these things happen. I don't know what the appropriate cost is.
Well, and the reason I set it up is we've had people sit in that chair and we make a decision, and they chastise us for not finding enough, or finding too much. And so I wanted to ask you that question directly, because we'll let this process work itself out. But I think there's a broader audience as this thing goes, that there's a lot of people working in the city of Bismarck and the city of Fargo that, you know, this could have been a 36-inch natural gas line. We could have blown up half the city of Bismarck. And so that's the backdrop of the potential severity, and I'm guessing that's part of why you file these things.
I mean, it's a critical piece of infrastructure. If things had gone the wrong way, we'd had torrential rains, or if we'd had to bypass that sewage. I mean, the cost to the city of Bismarck would have been enormous, but it didn't happen. Sure. So we basically dodged a bullet there, and it's whether the fine is commensurate with the damage that's done,
That's up for me to decide.
I hate to speculate on that. I mean, it can,
Thank you, sir.
You bet.
Mr. Unruh, as a result of the questions that Commissioner Culk asked, do you have any further questions?
Yes. Do you anticipate my insurance company paying the claim?
I would hope so, Doug. I guess we submitted everything to the insurance company, and that's their...
I'm frankly surprised they haven't, because I was told they did. But
yeah, I'm not aware that they received anything from the insurance company. I haven't been part of that. Michelle probably can speak to that better than I can. So,
okay. That's it.
Any further questions?
No, Your Honor.
Any further questions? Seeing that there are no further questions, you may step down.
Thank you, Your Honor. Commissioners, thank you.
Mr. Hsu, how long do you expect your next witnesses to take? I'm trying to evaluate whether we need a break for 10 minutes or whether we should just go through to the end.
Your Honor, maybe a quick break would be in order.
Okay. We'll take a break for 10 minutes till 2 o'clock.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Your Honor, for folks who aren't familiar here, just out in the hallway by the elevators is the ladies' restroom, and just one floor up or one floor down is a men's restroom by the elevators, so they're just every other floor.
About 2 o'clock, and we are back on the record. And Mr. Hsu, you may call your next witness.
Thank you, Your Honor. At this time, I'd like to call Jaron Fuller.
Can we pause for 1 second? Do we need to wait for Ms. Jeffcoat-Sacco for a few seconds? Is she?
Your Honor, it probably wouldn't hurt just to wait for a minute.
Okay. I just noticed she wasn't sitting there. We'll wait 2 more minutes.
2 minutes, Judge, and she's not here at 2, we roll.
This guy's got work to do.
Mr. Hsu, you may call your next witness.
This time I'd call Jaron Fuller.
Mr. Fuller, were you here for my previous admonition on perjury?
I was.
Understanding the penalties for perjury, do you promise or swear that the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? You may begin.
Thank you, Your Honor. Mr. Fuller, would you just spell out your last name for the record, please?
It's Jaron Fuller, F-U-E-L-L-E-R.
And please describe your place of employment.
I'm employed with the City of Bismarck Public Works.
Okay, and what's your title with Public Works?
I'm a superintendent of the water distribution and wastewater collection.
Okay, and are you familiar with the events surrounding the alleged violations today?
Yes, I am.
Okay. And are you aware of any one-call tickets that the city received prior to Phoenix's excavation?
We did not receive one.
Okay. And are you also aware of the steps that the city took to repair the facilities?
Yes, I am.
Okay. And what costs were realized by the city for the from the damage to the facilities?
For labor costs, I had to have guys set up pumps to bypass the pumping of the storm water system, and to block on Hannafin Street so no more, we had a heavy rain, it wouldn't have a gush of water coming towards that building and do any more damage. So we actually blocked it on Hannafin, set up a pump in the parking lot of Mid-Continent and pumped around the building. So,
okay. And do you know how much the total costs were to repair it?
I have that in, it was $2,400, I think it was, for our labor costs.
Your labor costs alone?
Okay. Yeah.
And was there any other ways that the city was inconvenienced by the damaged facilities?
Just the fact that if we had to bypass the Washington Street lift station, like Brad had said, that would have been a very catastrophic event.
And the staff is requesting that at least $11,000 total of at least $11,000 in fines be assessed for the two violations. The commission is able to assess a penalty up to $25,000 per violation. I'm just curious, could you share your thoughts on whether $11,000 is an appropriate amount or it should be more or less? I'll leave that open to you.
To be honest with you, whatever you guys decide is okay with us. We're not looking as a city to get Mr. Unruh into financial trouble or, you know, it was the fact that it wasn't reported after it was hit. That was a big concern to us because actually when we discovered it or when Brad gave it to our attention, we found out in April, it already happened in November. So we had 6 months that if we just started pumping, bypassing the lift station, and we'd had no clue, all of a sudden we'd had sewage coming out of every manhole and inlet along that pass. So that's where the big concern of ours is that it wasn't reported.
Sure. And so really the egregiousness of what we're talking about today would be more from the filling back over the damaged facilities. Would you say that's accurate?
Yes.
Okay. And now we were talking before about reimbursement from insurance and stuff. Just to clarify, do you have any knowledge about whether the city has collected, been reimbursed for the damages?
We have not to this day. No.
Okay. Is there anything else you'd like to share with the commission?
No, not at this time.
Okay. I have no other questions, Your Honor.
Mr. Unruh, do you have any questions for this witness?
Do you have a reason or a thought as to why you haven't received reimbursement?
Well, I think there was some discrepancy on some time that the insurance agent was talking with Brad about. So I don't know if that was the holdup or what the holdup is. So that's all I know on that. So.
Any further questions? Mr. Unruh?
No.
Does the advisory staff have any questions?
We do not have any. Thank you.
Commissioner Kolk?
Thank you, Your Honor. Thank you, Jaron, for your testimony. Just so I understand, so your public works for the city of Bismarck. Do you work for Brad or with Brad, or what's that relationship?
We work with Brad Engineering, does design work for us, watches projects for us and stuff.
But he's not your boss?
No.
So do you work for the commission, or who do you work
Michelle
for?
Michelle Closey is our director of public works.
And then she works for the commission?
Yes.
Okay, fair enough. So you said in your testimony that the fact that it wasn't reported is that really probably put you guys over the edge because that's what you said. So if the worst-case scenario would have happened and we'd had sewage water all over the city, who would have been responsible, the city of Bismarck?
City of Bismarck would have been, yes.
Absolutely, okay. You know, I think that's – oh, I know, last question. So do you have a pretty good feel for what type of infrastructure is underground in North Dakota, in Bismarck?
I do.
So do we have any 36-inch or – do we have any major natural gas lines transiting the city?
We have some high-pressured ones out on 57th Street and stuff, and there's some high-pressure ones in town, but 12-inch is the biggest I've ever come across when we've been digging water breaks and stuff. So.
Sure. But we have lots of MDU gas facilities underground and throughout the city.
Yes, we do.
Okay. Think we got lucky here, if you will, as a city?
Yes, we did. Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Commissioner Chrisman.
I do not have any questions, but thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Do you have any follow-up questions, Mr. Unruh?
No.
Any further questions? Seeing no further questions, you may step down.
Thank you, sir.
You may call your next witness.
Thank you, Your Honor. I just have one last witness, Mr. Shook, Victor Shook.
Mr. Shook, were you here for my previous admonitions against perjury?
Yes, I was.
Understanding the penalties for perjury, do you promise or swear that the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
You may begin.
Thank you, Your Honor. Mr. Shook, would you please spell your name for the record and just give us a brief description of your employment?
Sure. My name is Victor Shook, S-C-H-O-C-K. I am a public utility analyst for the Public Service Commission, and I am advocacy staff in this case.
Okay. And could you just walk us through your investigation in this case?
Sure. So kind of the way the process lays out, we receive complaints from various complainants. They could be excavators. They could be pipeline operators, cities. Once we receive that, we like to get the story from both sides. So we mail those out to whoever's being complained about. In this case, it was Phoenix Construction. That was mailed out in, I believe it was in April of 2015, right after we received the complaint. We never received a response to that letter. When we send the letter out, it essentially says, here's what we received. This is your chance to respond. We never received a response to that. After some time passed and we continued to receive no communication, staff went ahead and thought there was enough evidence to move forward with a formal complaint. Once that was filed, Phoenix Construction did respond to that with the letter that's marked as PSC Exhibit 3. And then shortly thereafter, we scheduled this hearing.
Would you just briefly describe what the contents of PSC Exhibit 3?
Sure. So this is a letter from Mr. Unruh, essentially saying he can't afford an attorney to respond, so he's responding on his own, which is completely fine. He's admitting that he did not call one call and does not have a reason for that. Goes on to talk about that he had a discussion with the property owner about where sewer and power lines were located and that he made a bad decision in starting to excavate. And then also talks about how the building owner held back payment to him for the building addition.
Okay. Now, from your assessment of from speaking to the witnesses and looking at the case and looking at the evidence, do you believe that there are violations of the one call law?
Yes, I do.
Okay, and could you just describe how you came to this conclusion?
Sure. So I guess there's two violations we're talking about. The first one is the failure to call for a one call request before beginning an excavation. That one, you know, essentially in this letter, Mr. Unruh is admitting he did not call a one call ticket. I verified this in the one call system. For the years of 2014 and 15, I found Phoenix Construction placed 3 one call tickets during that time period. There were 2 tickets in 2014, I believe in April and May. There was 1 in 2015 around the April time period. So it was a system he was obviously aware of as he placed tickets before and after the date of this incident. As we saw in the letter, he is admitting he did not call, and I have verified that I cannot find a record of him calling.
Okay.
The second part of that is the failure to notify an operator of damage to their facilities. So another provision of the law requires if you do hit something, whether or not you have a ticket, you cannot assume that anything is abandoned. Even if you know it is, you have to contact the owner of that facility and find out what it is and whether or not it's abandoned or active. That was not done in this case. He obviously hit the line. The line was covered back up, and the city had to find out kind of the hard way, by chance, that this line was damaged and, in fact, plugged.
And whose responsibility is it to ensure that the area is properly located? Prior to
excavation, it is the responsibility of the excavator.
Okay. And what penalty is staff requesting for the current case?
Staff is recommending at least $11,000 in this case. And that kind of breaks out to we have different adders, if you will, for coming up with a penalty amount. In this case, it's $500 for not having a one-call ticket, $500 for causing damage, and $10,000 for causing damage and covering it up.
Do you believe there should be any cause for mitigation of this penalty?
No, I don't.
Okay. Why not?
Staff did make attempts to contact Mr. Unruh to try to negotiate a consent agreement. We had communication issues in trying to get a hold of Mr. Unruh. He did not return phone calls, and what he did, it was months later. We tried negotiating on penalty amounts and payment plans, none of which he was agreeable to. Given that, plus the egregious nature of what took place in this incident, I don't believe any reduction in that penalty.
Relative to a lot of the other one-call violations we have, how would you compare this in egregiousness?
This is extremely egregious. I mean, people don't call one call and they cause damage. That happens. It's a violation, but it happens. People don't cover it up. your to do an analogy to let's say your car. The oil light comes on, and you can spend $2 and put some oil in your car, or you can put a sticker over the top of that light, and you can keep driving for 4 months. And you might be replacing a $10,000 engine. And I think that's kind of what happened here.
Okay. Is there anything else you'd like to offer to the commission for their consideration as well?
Not at this time.
Thank you. Your Honor, I tender the witness.
Mr. Unruh, do you have any questions for this witness?
Yeah, you're saying we knowingly covered it up. And how do you know that?
I believe you did based on the testimony of our prior witnesses. So the building owner testified that he saw chunks of clay pipe near the excavation area. He asked you about them. You said it was from an abandoned line. And at that point, you continued on with your excavation.
Okay. I didn't say an abandoned line. I said it's pieces of pipe laying in here. There was...
Mr. Unruh, again, yes, please
ask
questions.
Yes, I realize it's not a question. I don't know how to phrase it. I guess I'll wait till I get to make my statement before I go any further. So no questions.
Advisory staff?
Oh, I wouldn't pass up a chance to question Victor. Victor, how long have you been doing these one-call cases?
I've been with the commission for just about 2.5 years. I've been doing them for almost that entire time period. For periods of time in between my other duties, I do work on these cases almost exclusively. So I have done, I couldn't even count how many. I would guess it's near 100.
That was my next question. So how many of you do you think you've done? About 100?
My estimate would be nearly that amount.
Okay. And when these forms, complaint forms, like the one from the city of Bismarck, when they come in, you said you do try to find out the other side of the story, so you send it out for a response.
Absolutely. We don't take any complaint we receive. We don't just take what's written on it as law. We want to get both sides of the story because there's two sides to every story.
And then do you do any other independent investigation? You did say you called to verify if a ticket had been.
Yep. So in our investigation, we do consult the one call system. So there's an online version of the one call system where you can search for tickets by location or date or nearly any criteria you can imagine. So I searched throughout that system. I did speak to the building owner to confirm what he saw during the excavation and the addition to his building.
So you gathered some additional information besides just what was filed.
Correct.
By Bismarck.
Yes.
Okay. And when you were discussing the penalty and basis for mitigation, do you have some specific guidelines in your shop, in your division, or with your supervisors regarding how you're going to make a recommendation on a penalty and how you're going to recommend any mitigation to it?
Yep. So the mitigation isn't something we have done much of in the past outside of maybe a consent order where, you know, let's say we're going to recommend a penalty of $2,000 and someone is agreeable to do a consent order rather than an entire hearing proceeding like we're doing today. We would be willing to knock down a penalty just to reduce that burden on the state budget, honestly, to get that moved through the system more quickly and inexpensively. Beyond that, we haven't done much in the way of mitigation for penalties. Certainly, we do consider every factor, you know, so we do have some standard items, you know, kind of like I said initially, you know, with the 500 for no one-call ticket, 500 for damage, those are pretty standard items. The 10,000, this is not something we've seen before. We haven't had somebody cause damage and cover it up that we found yet. There may be more out there, but due to... just the fact of someone doing that, I don't know what they could do to mitigate that kind of action.
Back to internally how you come up with your recommended amounts, do you have written guidelines or rules?
There are guidelines, yes.
Okay. And they, what do they? What are kinds of things do they tell you to look at?
The conduct of the offender, the size of the business. I don't think that's the exact wording on that one, but it's kind of with that in mind. So, you know, how the penalty would impact the business or person. The infrastructure that was hit is certainly a big factor for us. What and kind of damage it could have caused.
Okay. That's all. Thank you.
Commissioner Kolk.
Thank you, Your Honor. Thank you, Victor, for your testimony. And Alana, we may have worked together too long because I was thinking the same questions you were asking about the setup of some of that. So I'll try to clean up a little bit, but understand I am once again not the attorney here. Alana asked you some questions about your experience, and so you said you know you've worked 50, 100 cases at least of one call.
Absolutely.
So when you say this is the most egregious, it's not like you've just done two of them.
Right. Right.
Okay. And then the you said that you walked the commissioners through the process. So do you, when someone files a complaint, do you always prosecute it?
No, absolutely not.
So what why would you not prosecute it?
If we don't believe there's enough evidence to support a violation. So if in reviewing everything in our investigation that we found, if we say, you know, maybe there's something here, but I don't think there's really enough to show it without a reasonable doubt, we probably wouldn't pursue it. I guess really that's kind of what it comes down to most of the time is.
But you show a lot of discretion at the whether you move forward, and then you talked about your goal. I think I heard you say something. What it's you know not necessarily. I'm kind of putting words in your mouth here, but you talked about other cases. You've done consent orders, which then resolve this issue to comply with the law. Is that how I understood you?
Yep. Yep. Absolutely. So you know, a consent order is essentially where the respondent would agree that they violated the law and agree to generally a lesser penalty amount
so
than what our...
To clarify, was a consent order offered up to Phoenix?
Yes, it was.
So did they reject it? I mean, I assume they rejected it, otherwise...
Yes, yes. We discussed with Mr. Unruh different options for penalty amounts, payment plans, et cetera, and they were rejected.
Do you think that the individual was aware that... It could be up to $50,000 when it comes to a hearing of what could be fined by this commission?
He should be aware because it was listed on the letters that we sent to him as well as the one-call law, which anyone conducting an excavation should be aware of.
Okay, and then and this is not anything I saw here today, but the paperwork obviously flows through the commission. We read as much as we can. But did you have to serve this individual by the sheriff because he wouldn't respond?
Yes, we did. So when at the time we scheduled the hearing, up to that point we had sent certified mail to Mr. Unruh's registered agent address, which is what I believe to be his office or personal address. And the certified mail had been delivered in the past, but at the time we sent the notice of hearing to him, that certified mail was returned, so we kind of had to scramble around to ensure that he gets proper notice as legally required. So we did have the sheriff, the Burley County Sheriff, serve him with both the notice of the hearing, the initial one, and we had him served with the continuance notice.
Does that happen a lot in your experience?
It doesn't. This is the second time.
So it's not the first, but it doesn't happen very often.
It really doesn't.
Okay. There was some back and forth between Phoenix and the first witness that owns the pawn shop about allegedly, back, I'm using these big words, about the building owner said, well, there's nothing out there. And even if the building owner would have said there's nothing out there, does that absolve the excavator from not having to call?
Absolutely not. Even if the building owner would tell him you don't need a one-call ticket, that does not absolve him.
So that discussion, in your viewpoint, was kind of mute discussion?
Yes.
Okay. And then Alana asked questions about the breakout of the fine, and I'm familiar with most of this, but the... Is this the largest aggregate fine that you've ever recommended for cases?
No.
So this is not the biggest fine?
Absolutely not.
So you think it's appropriate?
I do.
Do you have any idea, just you've been doing this a while, Victor, that, I mean, you pointed out in the exhibits that, I mean, we'll talk to Mr. Unruh here shortly, but unless it's not his name on the, unless he didn't sign these, and he said he didn't do it, and he's got another exhibit that he apologizes for
the heirs. I mean, of why he wouldn't want a consent order or why we're having this hearing when he's basically admitted this?
Right. I guess I can't speak for why he refused other than, yeah.
I don't know. No questions. Thank you, Victor.
Commissioner Chrisman.
Thank you, Your Honor. Now, not thinking so much about whether there was a failure to call in, but once the digging is going on, I have very little familiarity with old clay pipe that's almost 100 years old and what that would be like coming out of the ground. I think of what treated railroad ties look like when you pull them out of the ground that have been in since my grandfather put them in or things like that, and things often come out looking a lot different than what I imagine they looked like going in.
Sure.
And I also don't know, there's been no testimony, maybe Mr. Henry will have something to say. I don't know if this was done with a very small bucketed backhoe or a large type of a track hole that you would expect things to be very demolished, but is it unreasonable to imagine that someone could have dug through this pipe and just thought it was rubble from some old building that was maybe there 100 years ago or something like that and got backfilled into the parking lot one time and not really recognize that it was, in fact, a pipeline that's used and useful?
I don't believe that's possible, just based on the pictures that were submitted. If you look at, find the right exhibit here, so PSC 2, the third page of that exhibit. So this is, it's a little bit fuzzy, but if you kind of look in there, you can kind of tell, there's a little bit of water in the bottom of that pipe, and you can see a chunk of the pipe. If you kind of look at that pipe, even though the picture's fuzzy, that looks like a reasonably rounded section of pipe that's broken. And I would imagine the pieces that were found beside the excavation area look much, much like that. Also, the city did testify that on the other side, so we were talking, this is a pipe that ran east and west. It crossed completely under the addition of this building. This, I believe, this is looking at it from the west. When you looked at it from the east side, the city said you could actually see the foundation wall of the building if you were looking at this same view from the other side. So he dug down. You have to crawl down in this hole and put footings in, concrete forms, I should say. So you're standing in a hole, and you can see there's a big old round hole beside you. So in my opinion, it was very apparent that he hit something underground that was some sort of facility. And I guess either way, whether he knew it was something that was active and decided that this is going to hold up my business too much, or he didn't make the attempt to find out if it was abandoned or not, either of which is a clear violation of the law.
Okay. Then did I understand you correct? Searching my notes here a minute. Were you able to do a search of all of Phoenix Construction's locate requests for 2014 and 15?
Yes, I did.
And there were two in 2014?
And one in
20. And 2014 is the year this happened?
Yes.
But one of those two was not this?
No. So found three tickets total in the years of 2014 and 15. In 2014, there was one in April and one in May. I forget the locations of those. It was not this location.
But in Bismarck, or
I couldn't say. I have them. If
I don't think it's very important, but
yeah. So that was, like I said, April, May. But
clearly not this.
Clearly not this. Okay. This happened, from what we believe in about between October and December of 2014. And then he placed another ticket, I believe, in the Bismarck area again in April of 2015. So kind of as I mentioned, he was aware of the system because he was placing tickets before and after this.
Okay. No other questions. Thank you.
I have a follow-up, Your Honor, if you don't mind, before we do the loop.
Yes, just Mr. Calk.
I just clicked in my head, Victor, you said Phoenix, you found how many locate tickets in 2014?
Two.
For the whole year?
For the entire year.
And for 2015?
One.
So that means that Phoenix did three excavations during that two-year period?
I would hope that's correct.
Interesting. I guess we'll ask the witness that question because that... All right, fair enough. Thank you.
Mr. Unruh, do you have any questions for this witness?
Yes. You stated I rejected a... What did you call it?
Consent order.
A consent order. You said I rejected one?
Yes.
And what was that consent amount, or do you have that?
I guess I don't have it in front of me, but there were so discussions between...
Your Honor, this is really isn't relevant for the purpose of this case.
Because he's unrepresented, I think I'm going to let him ask the question, and if it goes too far, we'll stop it, but we'll let it go for now.
So you did have discussions with, prior to any of these proceedings, with Jack Hsu, regarding a consent order and what penalty amount you would be willing to pay. And it was my understanding from those discussions, you were unwilling to pay any amount, no matter how minuscule, that we could come up with.
I guess I can't ask a question. I mean, I don't know how to answer with a question, so I have to dispute that. But. So I guess I don't have a question then to follow up.
Any further questions? Mr. Unruh?
No.
Nothing, Your Honor. Thank you.
Advisory staff?
Nothing, thanks.
Commissioners?
No.
Seeing that there's no further questions, you may step down.
Thank you.
Your Honor, if I could just as a portfolio holder, throw a thought. Maybe I'm guessing that Mr. Hsu is almost done with this case. Maybe we just take a little quick break, and since the individual is not represented, you could kind of just give him through the process of what it, you know, he's got some concerns about, you know, what it takes to make his case. And I know that maybe that's not it's a little out of the ordinary, but I think that that seems appropriate as he's not represented and you're the judge. You could kind of go through, and I sense that Mr. Unruh wants to make some points and maybe just whatever you think appropriate, just so he understands what he's supposed to do. And maybe that's not appropriate, but I think that if he won't say it, I'll say it when I get back on the record, just so he gets a chance to say his piece.
Okay. Did you want to take a break off of the record, or are you saying?
If we could take a break off the record and just come back in a couple minutes, and then we'll.
Okay.
And I don't think we're much too much longer away being done.
Okay. 5 minutes?
10 maybe.
10 minutes? Okay. I have the time as 2:30 p.m., and we'll come back at 2:40 p.m., and we're off the record.
Thank you. And, Mr. Unruh, if you have questions, you can ask the judge what's appropriate.
Or ask Commissioner Cole.
Well, I prefer he talks to you.
Well.
Procedural questions, not substantive questions.
No, I guess I knew.
Basically, what I'll know. Do is I'll swear you in, and you can tell your story. And so what they've said that you disagree with, you can advocate for yourself and say that you disagree with. You can put in any evidence. I didn't see you provided any beforehand, so you're complete.
We're still on the air here.
Will be your witness testimony. You'll be your own witness. So you don't have to ask yourself questions or anything like that. You can just tell your story.
Yeah.